I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast, Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, joining me every week to take Twitter questions from this very dedicated and devoted fan base. It's Colin Show co-host, Josh Hart. Josh, how are you on this lovely Monday?
I'm doing okay. It was a pretty nice weekend here in Toronto. The sun was out. The Raptors were not fun to watch, but I don't know. I've rewatched Ex Machina. Have you seen that movie with Alicia Vikander and other people?
I did not.
It's good.
All right.
It's a good movie. Rewatch that. Good weekend. That's the kind of Raptors season we're in the middle of. Is off the top of the show, we're talking about what movies we watched. How are you, Will? How are you enjoying covering this team professionally? And it is the way it is.
I think it's like an adjustment period a little bit, but I think probably the hardest part. I mean, first off, none of the job is actually that hard, realistically. It is a dream job, so I don't want to complain and seem ungrateful, especially during this time. But relatively from this position that I'm in, the toughest part is probably having to. So I've committed to writing this like weekly column that comes out on Thursdays. You know, I think week one I wrote about how this team is very average and they need to kind of make a move to either be worse or better. Then week two, I wrote about Stanley, and this week I'm probably going to write about Utah. And I was thinking, like, there's no way I can go 30 weeks. How many times am I going to write about Stanley at Utah in 30 weeks? And how many people are going to read that? So that's probably the hardest part. But
I don't know. I think I have enjoyed the articles. I'm surprised you're not going to write the article sort of saying we need to talk about Kyle, because I think.
No one has the bravery for that. Let's be real. Nobody has the bravery for that. I can barely even ask Kyle a question in the Zoom call. You know, and he doesn't even know me, but you know.
He really
he's going to see my big franchise. Head and he's going to dunk on me.
It's been that this is like the first truly bad week from Kyle since like the 2018-19 season. No, the 2017-18 season.
He had some shaky moments in the 18-19 season, regular season. He had that 0-point game against Milwaukee where we lost in the regular season.
Yeah.
There was like, for, you know, he's beefing
for four games.
Front office. Yeah. I mean, like we can start there, maybe. Kyle has been a little bit unruly, let's say.
He's got thrown out of so many games.
Back-to-back games. Yeah. We still don't know what he specifically said to the ref, but hopefully
it wasn't good.
Hopefully it was nothing. He says it was nothing. I you know, the video kind of looks like he's not talking to anybody. So if anybody, it was Fred. So I'm not sure what happened there. But of course, Nick gave a different account. And then last game, he gets into it with Aaron Gordon, which, listen, you know, I did record the podcast and I did appreciate the incident. I thought Kyle was making a basketball play. But on the previous play before that, there is incriminating evidence of Kyle Lowry using his ass as a weapon. On what you could say is a box out. It is a box out, but it's a very firm box out. And I can see where Aaron's
knee.
Yeah, I can see where Aaron's coming from. But listen, as I said in the podcast after the game, I was just very grateful that that happened because it made that game a lot more entertaining than Raptors Magic in January. But what do you think is going on with Kyle? He just seems unhappy, or not unhappy, but just like unsettled, you know.
Yeah, I think the team's like general lack of goodness is getting to him.
He's like, I'm too old for this.
Yeah, I think like,
yeah.
Maybe. I wonder what it's like to be making a lot of money but always losing. Like that seems like the worst place to be, especially when you've won. Like it's like I feel like Kyle Lowry. I think for Kyle, it isn't the success. Isn't what really sort of he cares about it to sustain his success. So he's able to go out each night with a squad that people take seriously. And you can't say, like, you know, sincerely that this Raptors team night to night you have to take seriously, because, like, dog, on Friday night they ran out of what's the lineup? The lineup to end the first quarter on Friday night, I'll never forgive Nick Nurse for making me look at this, but it was like Stanley, Utah, Bembry.
Was that the Paul Watson
cameo? Watson. That was like leagues below the standard that this team has like run lineups at. Boucher was the last guy. And that's like, you know, no disrespect to any of those guys, but all five of them on the court at the same time are a weird place for a franchise to be. And I think Kyle Lowry is getting sick of it, because he's been on one this week.
Yeah, he's been edgy. I was gonna call him an edgelord, but I think that's something different. But anyway, I mean, cheer up, Kyle. Listen, like we've had a lot of good times here in Tampa. You can go golf, like, you know. It seems like Aaron Gordon's gonna be out for weeks. Unrelated, he twisted his ankle in the same game later on. So hopefully he's all right, man. But yeah, very strange beefs. I mean, in terms of Raptor beefs, I was going to say that this is the most random one since Wale pulled up on Matt Devlin and Leo. You remember that?
Yes.
Legendary moment, man.
Did Wale ever get like a global ambassador job with the Wizards?
Okay. I'm not familiar enough with Wale's music, but he doesn't seem like he's big enough to get that job. Do you know what I mean?
Global
ambassadors are like Drake, Justin Timberlake, or like Usher. He's a part owner. Jay-Z was a part owner. Yeah. Like Wale is not on that level. I don't want to sound like Matt Devlin. I don't want Wale to cross the border and pull up on me somewhere in an undisclosed office in Toronto.
But I do think he's very influential in the DMV, like in that region. He's huge.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't have sort of a global impact that other global ambassadors do. Maybe he's like a regional ambassador. Maybe that's his official title.
That's the funny thing.
Tri-state ambassador for the Washington Wizards.
No, that is funny, because I think they did call him a regional rapper, which is actually such a great diss, like by accident. Yeah. Matt was like, oh, here's a regional rapper, Wale.
Yikes.
Anyway, legendary moment. But yeah, it's a very strange Raptor beef. Which hopefully is resolved, because honestly, beefs are... Kyle Lowry is almost 35 years old. Like, you don't need to be beefing with Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. Go back to, you know, diss tracks. I would love the Kyle Lowry diss track.
Oh, yes. Actually, though, that probably would bang, honestly. Because there's a lot of material you can go to.
That'd be great. Yeah. That I would...
And then he's going to have free time, too. He's just going to be chilling at home. Can't break the COVID protocols. He's hurt. So hopefully he's going to be okay, but he's going to have a lot of time in that studio.
And I'd love then Kyle Lowry's sons to like record the Kid Swap version.
Ooh.
And that's a clapback if they just re-record the song. just two small children.
Oh, man. Yeah. Aaron Gordon, man. It's weird. I mean, he's played a lot of years in the NBA. Do you realize how long Aaron Gordon's been in the league? He's young. He's promising. Like, bro, he's been in the league a long time.
Well, he's at the end of his like full rookie scale extension, right? So like year seven.
No, bro, he's fully into his second contract by now. He's in
really?
He's in year seven of his career.
Yeah. No. But so he's at the end of the contract you have to take if you're a productive rookie. They gave him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he's year seven, year eight. Yeah, it's not worked out for him. I think it sucks. They should have traded him. I would say at the beginning of last season, I think I thought Golden State would have made sense for them, but sort of with the injury to Steph and then the global pandemic didn't work out for him to land. And then they moved on from that opportunity. But I always thought that he would have made a lot of sense in that system.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's too bad because he's really clearly very talented and will probably be washed by the time he leaves Orlando. And that sucks. Is he from Orlando?
He's from San Jose. So honestly, he probably could go to the Warriors. He's the brother of Drew Gordon. Oh, word. Thought that's like Drew Gooden for a second. I was like, how's that possible, man? He's like half his age. Anyway, before we get to the questions, actually, we wanted to run through some all-star picks for the upcoming all-star weekend, which the NBA is now just forging forward with, like, oh yeah, we're not gonna have an all-star weekend, it's irresponsible. Now it's like, yeah, let's go to Atlanta for all-star weekend. Okay, sure. That's fine. In terms of East and West picks, so okay, do you have starters or do you have the whole team?
I think I just did starters, but I obviously, like, the interest is in reserves, but I am more interested in hearing who you have as the reserves to debate. But I think the West is easy. Okay. Steph, Luka, Bron, AD, Kawhi. That seems like that's what's going to happen. East is Tatum, KD, Giannis, Embiid. Yeah. No, but yeah, Tatum. Does he's can't be voted a guard, can he?
I don't know, man.
So maybe.
Who knows?
If Tatum can be a guard, then Embiid, and I would put, I think Trey beats Kyrie in the vote.
Ooh.
And I think that's okay. The only exciting thing that happens. But if Embiid gets pushed, because I don't think Embiid can pass Tatum in the vote, then it'll be Kyrie and Trey. I think it'll be Kyrie and Trey will be in the sort of 5-6 last starter vote spot.
Okay, so who are your five?
Do you have any differences in the starters?
Who are your
five? So my five in the starters? East?
Yeah.
Giannis, KD, Tatum, Trey, Embiid. Kyrie.
All right, so here's the thing. Trey Young being in the start. Okay, I don't even know if Trey should be in the All-Star game. I mean, I know the numbers are good. Absolutely, the numbers are good. The Hawks have a winning record this year. His teammates have already complained about not necessarily wanting to play with him. He was more bubble for me on the bubble in terms of just like who might be in it. Because honestly, I think two Celtics might be in it, man. I think Jaylen Brown might be in the starting five. He's been that good.
You think the two Celtics?
Bro, I hate saying this, but Jaylen Brown has been amazing this year, man. Amazing. And honestly, Kyrie, when he's played, has been really good. James Harden has, I mean, realistically, he's probably going to the All-Star game. Let's be real. It's James Harden.
You think he'll get the votes? So Giannis, KD. No, really,
but he'll probably be a reserve. Like, if you're a coach and you don't put James Harden on the All-Star game,
you're a hater.
You're a hater. So,
who do you think? Who's the biggest coach vote hater in the East? I feel like it's Nick Nurse.
It might be Nick. You know how like teams generally don't vote for their own guy, but yeah. Nick's probably filling on his ballot. Like, I'll give me Fred, Utah, DeAndre Bembry.
But I can see that. I can see that. Like, I want. I feel like Nick Nurse wants to be able to say to Stanley Johnson, like, you know, I voted for you for All-Star reserve.
Definitely. Yep.
Get out there and go get me 18 rebounds tonight. It's like I never get that many rebounds, but
yeah,
I can see Nick Nurse voting for only Raptors.
Definitely, and he's voting daily as it's allowed. Which honestly, every good coach should be doing. I mean, if you're not doing that for your team, then what are you really saying? But okay, so you have KD, Embiid, Giannis, Tatum, and Trae Young. Honestly, those five are probably going to be on the team. I mean, as much as I want to hate on Trae, he's averaging like 27 and 10. For my reserves, I have, because you have 12 players, so seven more reserves. I got James Harden, I got Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Chris Middleton, Domantas Sabonis, and Bam Adebayo. That does mean no Raptors are on the list, which I think it would be the first time in 7 years that has happened. Raptors have had two representatives in the last 5 years. Last year they had Pascal and Kyle. I just don't really think Pascal or Kyle has had that kind of level of consistency that at this current moment. Of course, you know, Pascal can go on a tear and average like 35 for the next month, which would be awesome. And he'll probably be on this list, but yeah, I mean, Zach LaVine's really having a really nice year. Jaylen Brown's taking a step up. He's a lock for me. Sabonis is a lock. Adebayo's a lock. Middleton's a lock too. He's been really good.
Middleton has gained significantly on Giannis for being the Bucks' best player, and that should be terrifying to every Bucks fan.
Well, I was more afraid of Chris Middleton in that Bucks game that Raptors played them than Giannis at the end. Giannis was just turning the ball over, getting pressed by Stanley, and Chris Middleton, like, every single time he has an open shot, he's making it. He's shooting. This is what Chris Middleton's shooting for the season. 51% from the field, 44% from three. and 93% from the free throw line. He was very close to 50-40-90 last year, fractionally off in the two-point percentage or the field goal percentage. But yeah, this year he's fully there, and the Bucks are quite good again. Okay, so in the West, you had – what were your five starters in the West?
Wait, if Chris Middleton didn't have to play that overtime in game four of the Heat series, he would have been 50-40-90?
No, that didn't count towards it. Those are playoff numbers.
Oh, that's playoff stuff. Yeah, never mind. Sorry, what'd you ask?
Who are your starters in the West?
That's easy. So that's Steph, Luka, Braun, AD, and Kawhi.
Okay, absolutely. Those five are on the team. I agree with you. I think there's maybe a case of Lillard starting over Doncic. But because every time I watch the Mavs,
Lillard gets so many votes. People love, and I love Damian Lillard. He's,
yeah.
And it's weird that Jokic isn't going to start the All-Star game while being the MVP, but that's just the way that, you know,
yeah,
it's the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but Jokic will be definitely an All-Star. Yeah. I think Lillard will be an All-Star. Paul George should be there.
You think Ja can make it? I think he's the one of the guys who's on the bubble.
Oh, I mean,
if he'd not been injured.
Yeah.
He's so much fun.
He is really fun. I would love to see him in that format. I have Ingram also making it as well. I have
Salute. I'm really happy for that guy.
He is good. I mean, the team sucks, but Ingram, it looks amazing every time I watch him.
Yeah. And he shows up at his post games, you know, high
screen. Well, you know, he wouldn't be the only one. Clearly, he plays already quite well with it, so I don't think he should change anything he's doing. I got Gobert in the game. You know, you kind of have to give the Jazz some, like...
No way. You can't have...
Bro, come on, man. Who else would you put on that team if it's not Gobert? You got to put Donovan Mitchell in there instead?
No, you got to quarantine the Utah Jazz over the All-Star break as punishment.
Just because of the Utah Jazz. Bro, they're a half game up. Or they're a half game up on the Lakers for second in the West.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Man, I hate the Utah Jazz. Right. No disrespect to, you know, Jazz fans, but I don't want to watch any of these guys on a Saturday night in February or whatever in this game takes place.
Bro, you don't want to see Rudy Gobert throw down two-handed dunks in an All-Star game?
No, and are they going to bring back the very confusing format? Like, it's
would they draft them? They should. I love the draft.
No, the scoring format where you have to score 100 points in the fourth quarter while maintaining 6 feet social distance, but pretending there isn't a global pandemic because you're doing this completely superfluous game in the first place just to sell more tickets.
You know, the winner of the All-Star game is going to get 250 vaccines donated to their charity of choice or something. That's how the NBA operates these days.
That's
But no, you got to send someone from the Jazz. Rudy is the best player in terms of impact on the Jazz. So I'm sending Rudy to the All-Star game, and then it got kind of difficult for me, honestly. In the West, it's kind of TBD. I had Shea making it, which is probably a bit of a stretch, but OKC is 8-10 awesome this year, which isn't even the worst record in the conference at the moment. And Shea's been great.
I think Chris Paul gets that spot. Just for, you know, press effort, respect, which is why I also think Kyle Lowry makes the All-Star game. What's crazy is that Devin Booker's been bad. Like, Devin Booker,
after the bubble,
you definitely thought he would make the leap in this significant way, and it's not been there. And Monty Williams, I was really excited about his start last year. It seemed like he'd help that franchise turn itself around.
Well, it's because of Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines was amazing to start last year for the Suns.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And now... Yeah, I do like the bottom of the Western Conference for vibes is Minnesota, Phoenix, and Dallas.
Well, that's the thing. It's for the first time in forever. It's actually hard to find 12 like fully credible All-Stars in the West. Some of those are in, like, I think CJ McCollum, for example, had a great start to the season, but he's hurt. So I don't know if he makes it.
Probably.
He's just not going to make it. The Timberwolves are.
Jimmy Butler's not making it in the East, which is nuts because it's, you know, he was in the finals.
Right. And I think, honestly, he could probably end up making the team anyway. But Bam is absolutely on that team at least, still. Like, Dallas, obviously, they only have Luka. The Kings, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is having a nice season, but, like, I don't know if you really want to put the Kings in there. The Houston Rockets, they barely played this season. And I feel like. I mean, honestly, John Wall and Victor Oladipo are playing well. Christian Woods honestly played so well. He could be all-star level, but you're realistically not going to send any of those three guys. And then it's like DeMar with the Spurs, which, you know.
If DeMar should make it. The Western Conference is his championship. That is his championship. DeMar DeRozan goes as a, you know, kind of suspect starter in the East. I don't even think he's a suspect, but that's sort of the book. Like, he'd never make the All-Star team in the West. Whatever. Maybe you have a point, maybe you don't.
Well, but if he goes to the Western Conference, came to the East.
All the West All-Star guards, it's tough to get past them. But yeah, that's why they all left. But if DeMar DeRozan is able to make the All-Star game in the Western Conference, that's it. I don't know where you build the trophy, but or the build the statue, but that's his championship.
There you go.
You can never take that away from DeMar DeRozan, you know.
Well, that's listen, you should go vote for your favorite Raptors. Go vote for them for the All-Star game. If you had to pick one Raptor, regardless of circumstances or deserved, production or anything like that, if you just wanted to see one Raptor in that All-Star game format, who would you want to pick to send to go?
I guess the funniest answer is Utah, because he would be the most intense, and he would do the things. Yeah, that would be funny just to see somebody really try from the first whistle in the All-Star game, picking up guys full court. But a realistic answer, I want Kyle to make it. I think that his career warrants it, while his performance this season might not. I'm very emotionally invested in Kyle Lowry's Hall of Fame case and a seventh All-Star game. And he should have already been a seven-time All-Star, but that didn't happen.
That's facts.
So if he adds a seventh, I think it helps, you know, it helps his case. Seven All-Stars, two All-NBA appearances. One All-NBA? Two All-NBA, I think?
Two.
A gold medal and a championship?
Should be three, honestly. Last year he should have made it.
Yeah, So it would have been two. So that's it. I just want Kyle Lowry to make the Hall of Fame. Yeah, seven All-Stars, two All-NBA, gold medal, a championship. It's pretty good. It's like...
Yeah, most memorable ass in the NBA. That's... You know, when you think about NBA assets, what do you think about?
Yeah, it's got to be Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, there you go. So #7 #7. Let's start the campaign. So, all right, let's get to your questions. Thanks everyone for sending in questions as always. When the Raptors come off a win, there are less questions. When they lose, there are like 100 of them, usually with 40 of them being trade suggestions. So this one, first one from Jordy. Not Serge's Jordy, but another Jordy. I don't think this one is Spanish. This one says, the rest of the first half schedule is stacked with quality opponents versus conference finals rivals. For the most part, how important is this upcoming road trip and the remaining first half of the schedule to assess this team going into the trade season? So the Raptors are about to start a 6-game road trip that starts in Orlando, where the Raptors have to play Orlando again, which I'm sure everyone will be thrilled to watch. And then afterwards,
that's tomorrow night, right?
That is tomorrow night. Don't miss it. 7 p.m.
I'm gonna find something else.
You're gonna make dinner. All right, fair enough. I have to cover the game, but I will be there to cover. Not physically. I would never want to be. I didn't enjoy my first Orlando experience, but anyway, Tuesday they play Orlando, then they go to Brooklyn on Friday, Saturday a back to back in Atlanta. Then Monday, they play in Memphis. Wednesday, they play Washington. And then Thursday, they play in Boston. So it is a six-game road trip. It's their longest of the season so far. We'll see what happens in the second half of the schedule. But, it's going to be very important. I think if the Raptors can go, 3-3? I think that's realistic. Maybe 4-2 would be good, but... What do you think? Orlando, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Memphis, Washington, Boston.
This is tough. The Celtics are coming off their own road trip because they're in Golden State. That they're like coming from California.
Okay.
They're like flying from Utah back to Boston before the Raptors get there.
Mm. Are they going to forget Jaylen Brown in California? Because and Semi Ojeleye, because otherwise Pascal might have a hard time. But keep going.
This is tough. This is a tough stretch. Can't deny it. 3-3 seems ambitious. I would say 2-4. I think that they beat the Nets, and that's a highlight.
Bro, if they beat the Mets, then we could be talking about a 5-1 road trip here. Washington's not that good. Let's be real.
Washington, they beat. That's the other win that I have. I think tomorrow's really chippy.
Nah, they'll win tomorrow. I mean, not to get too confident, but they'll win tomorrow.
I don't know. Don't you feel like tomorrow's like a real professional pride game for the Magic? I know that they
don't have professional pride. They play for the Magic.
Oh my goodness. This guy. Maybe they would. Then maybe 3-3 is possible. I do kind of like them going into Brooklyn with rest. I wonder what the Nets schedule looks like before then. Do you have it in front of you?
I could pull it up. But the Raptors will have 3 off days in between, so that is plenty of time to train and rest. The Nets play. But
the Nets also have 3 days
between. That's true. And they play the Clippers right before that.
But then they have a back-to-back, they play the Sixers. That's a huge game for
That's going to be very Nets. Interesting. I really want to see all those two teams match up because Embiid might have 50 points.
Yeah, he's going to score.
That might be our first 50 of the season. Well, I mean, aside from Steph having like 60 or something, but like,
Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of not so bad a schedule.
I'm talking myself into 4-2. That's if the Raptors play up to their full potential, but I think they're losing against the Celtics. 6th game of the road trip, second out of a back-to-back. That's going to be a tough game for the Raptors. And it's the Celtics who match up well with the Raptors. I don't think the Raptors can beat Brooklyn. I just think they have so much firepower. The way to beat Brooklyn is to score a ton yourself. The Raptors might have like 130 points, but Brooklyn will score 140.
147.
It's just going to be very tough. That's all.
Do you watch the end of the game yesterday?
I did, yeah. I'm happy for Russell Westbrook because, He needed that. Exactly. So I'm happy he got that moment. And it came against KD as well. I like that they've quashed their beef too. Like they're legendary, like they're iconic teammates. Like it's hard to see them always beefing with each other.
Nah, but I mean,
all KD did was change his job, man. People at the score aren't mad at me, man. We're still friends.
But they don't subtweet you. They don't, have burners where they say I agree. I do think it's
Joe Wolf was holding me back. This guy always wanted me to talk about the Pacers.
So look at the Pacers. Okay. Let's go 3-3, 4-2. How important is it for what the Raptors are on the trade market? I don't think they're going to uncover fundamental flaws that not already aware of.
They have a good idea of what the team is.
Yeah. So it may make the Kyle Lowry situation worse, but even then, like we said off the top of the show, Kyle Lowry's been kind of an asshole to the team this last week. An asshole around, he's upset, clearly. That situation might be worse if nothing happens between now and then, but if the Raptors go 4-2, I don't think that any of those problems fix themselves.
If they go 4-2, I think us as fans will feel a lot better. The front office is probably not going to judge on a 6-game stretch, even though there are quality opponents that are coming up. I think we know what the Raptors ceiling is. Next question from Pierre. The ideal Pascal stat line is 20 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. He seems at his best as a point forward. He is great. But come the end of the game, by lack of their options, all of a sudden it becomes the Pascal ISO show. It sets him up to fail, and it's not his fault. Am I wrong? What do you think? I don't know if like giving Pascal ISOs at the end of the game is that terrible, because I just don't think the Raptors have that kind of offensive discipline at the moment where they can run a crisp play and get a wide open shot. Just doesn't feel like it's happened that often this season. And a lot of end game situations do come down to ISOs. Maybe ISO with the mismatch, but Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The Pascal end of game situation, it's not even the thing I really care about. Like the Raptors give up these, the transition between the 7-minute mark in the third quarter, or the sort of 5-minute left mark and the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter is where the Raptors lose games. And that the issue isn't Pascal isolation moves. So until they're able to maintain a lead, and yesterday looked promising.
But again, that was the Magic, and like they didn't even seem interested in making a comeback, which is kind of sad.
So until that problem is fixed, I'm not going to really hold it against Pascal, because I don't really think the Pascal isolation is huge problem with the team. The huge problem with the team is what happens when they're 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter until they're 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, because they just lose every game there all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like Raptors' first quarters are okay. They'll maybe start out slow, maybe start out fast, but it'll be close. Second quarter, they will maybe open it up, have a 4 or 5, 6 point lead in the first quarter. Then they'd make it to 12 at the 7 minute mark of the third quarter. Fred, Kyle, and Pascal go sit. Then it's just all bullshit for the next 12 minutes of game time.
Yeah.
And until that's not the case, or 9 minutes of game time, until that's not the case, like, I don't know. I like your question. I would say, solve transition units, and maybe Pascal's ISOs to end the game won't feel so bad.
Yeah. Also, the Pascal ISO is just like, that might be the best option to have. Is like, is Pascal ISOing going to give you a more efficient shot than Kyle Lowry doing some Kyle stuff? It's probably the same. It honestly probably the same. I think you would probably want to get Pascal more of those reps than Kyle. So I don't hate the idea of it. In terms of the first half, 28 and 10. I mean, that'd be fantastic. That'd be a fantastic Pascal game. I don't know if he can average 8 assists. I think he's under 5 now for the season. I think
he had that great like 3-game streak where he had basically 2 triple-doubles and another 7 assists. But
yeah, his assists have dropped down to 4.4. I think at one point they were over 5 for the season. But, you know, I would love to see him get 8 assists. I think he needs to find other ways to get into the paint even when defense is really load up there. And, of course, it also would really help if he, you know, played with guys who could finish. And, like, let's say Serge was there instead of Baines. I think Pascal's assist would really just go up just by function of the fact that he has someone who can pass it to, who can score. And usually the double is coming from the center too, so that really hurts Pascal. Next question, also about Pascal. This is from Bye Bye Baby. Pascal's offense looks completely different against good teams versus against the Magic/Kings. How are good defenders able to shut him down in his post-ups and pick and roll to near zero effectiveness? I mean, I think the issue right now is Pascal can't beat a double team. Good teams can double you and then rotate.
Yeah.
Which we see with the Raptors quite often defensively.
And now the Raptors can't even seem to rotate, but that's another story.
Yeah. Well, they do it half the time. Half the time the Raptors are a great defensive club. The other half the time they give up like 130 points to the Pacers.
Yeah.
But no, I think Pascal needs to develop more moves. I think the fact that he's pretty much abandoned the jumper of the last few games is really hurt. Because, I mean, it's also hurting that he's shooting like 4 for 30 in his last 33s. Which,
what? I mean, that's like, he's at like 12%?
Not for the season. For the season, he's at 24%. I know, this is tough. This is tough. All right, so Pascal, over the last 9 games, is shooting 13% from 3.
Maybe Pascal got to make, like, how did he climb the mountain to be an all-star again?
I think go back to like a non-bubble environment. I think that would help him a lot. I think if he played with some better teammates, I think that would help him, which is normal. Obviously, that helps everybody. And then probably just expand the skill set and really hone the jumper. The jumper seems to have made a lot of progress incrementally, and then it seems to have completely fallen off. So until he finds the rhythm on his jumper. Yeah.
Why have the Knickers hired Rico Hines to be around the team all the time?
Man, Rico's not relocating from Sacramento in California, where he's based out of, to come to here just for Pascal. Like, I mean, maybe if you paid him that much money, but... No, the Raptors are fine development people.
No, I know. I'm just teasing. Yeah, I hope Pascal figures it out. It's kind of lost in the broader bad feeling around the team that this has been a tough calendar year for Pascal.
But yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But we're pulling for the guy, man.
I don't know.
He sounds really sad in all the post-game interviews.
Does it make sense to shut him down? Like, what's going on with the groin?
I don't know, man.
I know then you're like really punting on the season, and that's kind of...
No, you're definitely punting on the season, man.
Yeah, and that's like naked tanking, and that I'm wondering from your perspective, like, what's the issue with the groin? Is it that severe that maybe he elects to get some kind of surgery, or like, what is going on? It seems to take him out. It's taken him out twice this year so far.
He probably has like good days and bad days with it. He seems to really be prioritizing his body. Like, he got a whole medical team basically around him. So
what a flex.
I know, right? Seriously. I always wonder with these athletes too, like, you know, there's a limited supply of medical practitioners in any given.
Yeah, are you country. Just getting a bunch of like guys who went to med? Never mind. I don't want to disparage anybody's medical education. One that I could, you know.
Yeah. In any case, I don't know. If the team's willing to play him and he's willing to play, then it is what it is. So
I just wonder, like, how severe this issue, because
me too. Yeah.
That it began, like, the groin issue began last January, and he's kind of not been good since then.
Well, he does rely a lot on he relies a lot on athleticism, explosiveness.
Yeah.
And yeah, a groin is a lot very of, important towards
a lot of posterior chain movement. I'm sure some physiotherapists were like, that's actually the anterior chain. Okay.
Next one from Sean. Who has more upside, Utah or the Slim Duck?
This is every week somebody says, who has more upside than Chris Boucher? And Chris Boucher has more upside than any of these people.
Chris Boucher does have a lot of upside.
It's just kind of like, it's pretty like disrespect. Like, I know that Chris looked really bad at times with the Raptors and looked like a guy who, you know, didn't have much upside.
Mm-hmm.
But he has more upside than Stanley Johnson and Yuta Watanabe.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think Yuta and Stanley are, well, I mean, in this case, Yuta is a better defender than Chris. Yeah. But I think Chris might make a bigger impact on the whole just because he's so much more a deterrent with his shot blocking. I think Chris plays a harder position defensively at center. And, of course, that is an issue because that's the only position he really can play. I mean, I guess he could play power forward, but really he's going to guard bigs, and bigs kind of body him a little bit. But no, I mean, he could score though. That's the thing. And I think, like, as much as we're excited about Yuta, like, we can be realistic about, like, it's nice because it's like found money, but, you know, it's also,
you're not paying your rent with found money.
No. And he's, again, he's been great. Like, he has been great in his role, but his role is to, like, literally come in and hustle. Like Nick Nurse said, if he scores, it's a bonus. This guy called him DeMontis bonus, man. This guy said, you're averaging like 4 points a game. And, like, you know what? Like, it's great. Like, he had a career high 12 points, man. Like, honestly, when Chris has 12 points, we don't even talk about it. So it's, come on, it's still Chris. As much as I like Yuta.
Shout out Yuta.
Yeah. He's on the right path.
Yuta has Yuta has a different kind of upside. I hope that he's around the team for a while. He seems like he could be a
good vet. I'd be happy if he signed the next Stanley Johnson deal, like 2 years, $9 million. Like, yeah. I think he has a role to play. So
when we sign Stanley to the Norm's cap space.
I don't know about that. Maybe. He probably signed the same deal again, to be honest. I think I would be fine with that too. Next question from Jay Rosales. How many potential playoff foes would you trust Baines to start against? So
Orlando?
They're not making the playoffs. I mean, they would have made the playoffs with all their guys healthy. Because they did have some decent players. But it seems like they're going to really slip. They've lost 11 of the last 13 games. It's a tough time for them.
Imagine Joel Embiid and Aaron Baines. That would be just
when they have played each other in the past, Aaron Baines has, I'm pretty sure Aaron Baines is 1-0 in terms of playoff series wins against the Sixers. I'm pretty sure the Celtics beat the Sixers.
Oh, sure. But that has more to do with a misfired confetti cannon than Aaron Baines.
Yeah. Okay, so Brooklyn, definitely no. How many minutes do you think you can play against Brooklyn, man? Yo, Kyrie's going to have to, like, burn the sage after those minutes, man. It's going to be bad.
Are they going to... I guess if you, if like DeAndre Jordan isn't playing playoff minutes for the Nets.
I mean, even if he does, bro, you can't have Aaron Baines guarding KD and Kyrie and James Harden in the pick and roll over and over again. It's, I don't, and to be fair, no, you can't have any of the Raptors centers doing that. The only guy I would trust in that is Stanley.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Is this for, like, is there anyone?
I mean,
Hornets, this, sure.
Okay, Cavs. The Pacers, you can do it. Pacers, you can do it. He did a good job against the Pacers.
Okay.
Yeah, like, Cavaliers? And we're talking like 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, Cavaliers.
Yes, if they make the playoffs, you can play Aaron Baines against the Cavs. You could probably play Aaron Baines against the Heat, probably. Because, you know, I thought he did a pretty good job against Bam. But
he wasn't, yeah, I guess.
But, I mean, realistically, are you going to close any of these games? No, you're not.
No.
So, but that's probably about it. They're not playing him against the Celtics. Hornets, not really. I don't even know if they'll make it. Atlanta, maybe. If Clint Capella gets like 20 rebounds a game and people start complaining, oh man, we drafted Bruno over this guy. Yeah.
Has Bruno signed somewhere or is he still in the wilderness?
Still in the old wilderness, baby. Again,
you think it's a wrap for Bruno?
No, it's not necessarily a wrap. He's such a young man, but you know, just make sure you know when the OSAP deadline is. Next one from Shanda. Which Baines is the real Baines? The first five games or the last five games? Can we expect this increased production to continue? Same question for Boucher. I think Boucher will be better than this. I think the last few games he's not been as energized. What do you think about Boucher?
He had, like, Chris Boucher had like three bad games and he bounced back at the beginning of last week. Like, he looked good in the second Pacers game, then he went back down. I think he's. Yeah, he came out of the gates, you know, like a house on fire. And that's fallen off a little bit, and that's okay. That's to be expected. He's a bit better than he's been the last couple games. And for Baines, I don't know. I have no idea. I do not trust Aaron Baines at all. I think that he can't be as bad as he was to start the season. That's what's like.
No, well, he wasn't even getting minutes. He got benched for Alex Len, who got cut.
Yeah, like who Aaron Baines was at the very beginning of the season is not an NBA pro. I would say he's more like the last five games. And I don't know if he's going to get much better than the last five games, which is you can play him with a straight face.
Yeah. Well, I think he's had better matchups, which definitely helped. It's going to keep his defensive viability on the floor. Like, I thought he did good against Vucevic. He did well against Sabonis. He did well against Bam. So right away, those are some pretty promising signs. But again, not every team has those kind of guys. But I think the thing I want to highlight is that Aaron Baines for his career is a 51.7% two-point percentage shooter. He's at 51.8% from two this year. So right along career average. He's shooting the three at 23%. His career is at 31%. So yeah, maybe he can shoot the three better, but like, it's not like he's a prolific three-point shooter. And he's averaging 5.9 points per game for this season in 18 minutes a game. For his career, he averages 5.9 points in, 60 minutes per game. So he's, on the whole, this is kind of what Aaron has been. The one outlier is that last year with Phoenix, he did really have a really nice year, career high in scoring, rebounding, threes made and things like that. But I think honestly, like the rhythm in which he played last year with the Suns, I think him and Ricky Rubio had a really good combination and a lot of chemistry. And I don't think Baines has chemistry with anybody on the roster. Seems like lately Fred's found him for a couple of dives to the basket, but it's not like that's like unstoppable by any means. It's not like, oh my God, I don't know how to shut down Aaron Baines, you know? So it kind of, this is just what he is. I think, somewhere right in the middle between the first five and the last five.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, more questions. Matt Suzuki asks, do you think Malachi Flynn would benefit from a stint with the 905? He's got an NBA-ready skill set, just seems to be a bit jittery when he adjusts to speed, IQ, et cetera, of the NBA. I think absolutely. And I think, honestly, for us as fans, if you get into the G League, which honestly, it's not bad. right? If they're all going to be empty arenas, something like that. Honestly, it's not a bad product to watch if you have a little extra time. I would be very interested to see what Malachi would look like if he can play 30 minutes and start and run a team and make decisions, something like that. I think the biggest adjustment for him is the speed, because he's making, for a guy who was so steady in college, he's looks like he's always looking over his shoulder, expecting a defender to be there or blocking a shot, and he's just rushed his timing and stuff. So I would, yes, the answer is yes, I would love to see him in the 905.
But isn't it, I guess it just is the transition. I think that, like, there are legitimate complaints, like, why is this guy who was a four-year player and was sort of touted as being NBA ready in all these respects struggling so much with the intensity of NBA games? And I don't know, I guess there are just some things you can't be ready for until you're there, which is, I don't know, kind of like a weird surprise.
It is a bit of a weird surprise, but just because a college level, like a experienced college player comes to the NBA isn't ready immediately, is, I don't think that's necessarily something that, like, rules them out for their career. Like Fred, for example, as a rookie, shot 35% from the field, averaged 3 points, barely played. When he came in, wasn't really sure what he was doing. You know, of course, it's a big difference.
He was getting called Beaver Warrior on Twitter.
That was someone else who I later come to respect. But anyway, damn. I got to delete the rest of my Twitter from like 2018 and previously, because it's incriminating. DeLon was 23 years old when he was a rookie, averaged 4 points, you know, wasn't anything spectacular, kind of looked a little bit lost. You know, Norm, kind of the same deal. So, you know.
Norm's rookie season, what an experience.
Bro, that playoff series, though.
That playoff series.
That playoff moment was incredible. So.
Shout out to – who is the pacer who had his hand on the ball when the timer expired? Not Rod. It wasn't
Rodney. Oh, yeah, Solomon Hill.
Solomon Hill, yeah.
Solomon Hill, yeah.
Shout out to Solomon Hill, man. Probably saved the franchise.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, man. There's like maybe like three skin cells still clinging onto the basketball. It was unbelievable. And I was there. Jeff Lowe asks, would you give up a first-round pick or Norm to get a proven center, preferably on the younger side? Baines and Boucher are fine for 15 minutes. I definitely wouldn't give up a first-round pick. I think Raptors first-round pick
might be quite valuable. Norm's definitely, yeah.
Would I trade Norm? I mean, I guess it depends on the, you know. It
depends on the guy. It depends on what you want out of the season. Depends on how much fun you think it would be to have Evan Mobley on this team. The Raptors can't do it unless they shut down Pascal, but maybe Pascal gets shut down. What do you think? Do you think Raptors fans have the composure to like live through a 20-win season?
Okay, here's the thing. The real issue is, as fans, we got real used to winning and stuff like that. Right, so it's going to be a little hard to follow the team when they lose, which is natural. That's the same for everybody. I think what's unique about the Raptors situation is that as a fan base, we have talked so much shit and got so cocky over the last few years. We can't go back. You can't talk shit and go back. That's really the lesson here. And yeah, I think that's probably the thing that people are going to struggle with, to humble ourselves. And we have grown very, very incredibly not humble.
But you don't think if the organization clearly punts the season, like, I don't know, the Pascal groin thing, it's just been, it's weird that it's bothered him for a year. Like, that seems like something needs to get figured out. And maybe it's not the issue, and his issues are more the responsibility of not playing in Toronto, whatever. But if that is a fact, that something is structurally wrong with Pascal's groin right now, mm-hmm. he needs to sort that out. I think I'm prepared to, like, you know, I can watch other stuff happen this season in the NBA, and the Raptors reload with it. I don't know. I'm sure Kate's going to say welcome to the bandwagon, but I don't know. It's something about this team seems like not right. And maybe shutting a guy like Pascal down to see if that improves things, is the right move. You're not ready for it.
Of course not, man. I have to watch all the games. And I need people to tune into the content, which it's going to be a lot harder if they keep losing, which, you know.
We might. I don't know.
Yeah, look, listen, writers are very rarely going to be pushing for tanks because we are affected tangentially. Not even tangentially, for sure. By association.
But look, people love you too much to not
I don't know, man.
Subscribe, comment.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I hope so, but I doubt it. Next one from John. Nick seems way angrier to me this season, even when they win. Is this a cause for concern, or am I reading too much into it? And he also adds, or is he the same as always and just not wearing glasses?
No, Nick Nurse does seem really angry all the time now.
It's great. Man, I don't know if it's the Florida sun or what it is, but this man is a deep magenta for most times the camera pans magenta. Over.
I would just wish, the only thing I wish Nick would change is the way he wears his mask.
You mean what he doesn't?
Yeah, like it's
this guy operates the mask like you operate a walkie-talkie. You hold it off to speak. Like, what the hell, man? But it's probably hard to like yell at the officials with the mask on, let's be real.
Yeah, Nick Nurse has been on one, but he's kind of been on one since the bubble last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Man was playing, man with a six man on defense against the Celtics.
Listen, all hands on deck. I appreciate that. If I were a coach, I would do that absolutely.
That's why he doesn't have the mask, because it would be a tell. Yeah. Tatum would know he has a mask on, can't pass him the ball. Yeah. Was it Tatum that passed the ball, or was it? Yeah, it's Tatum.
It was Jason Tatum. He looked at Nick Nurse in a deep magenta polo and passed it right to him.
You see, Tatum hit that shot at the end of the Lakers Celtics game.
Yeah,
man, he's so good.
I hate the fact that the Celtics are this good, and that I actually really like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And Kemba. Honestly, I like Kemba too. Like, it's annoying that I have to like that team. Players, like, not that team.
Shot making is
it's stupid, man. It's
so good.
It's absolutely stupid. And the fact that they always play really well against superstars, it freaks me out.
Yeah,
because that's the number one sign of a good playoff team.
Whenever he starts to get the whistle, I remember that game at the end of last season.
That's right. Yeah,
where the Celtics should have won that game, and then it was just like, okay, LeBron, go to the free throw line for the next 7 minutes. I was pretty upset, and I'm a Bron guy, but when he gets that kind of whistle where they can be up 2 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter and then win a game, like, and then just parade of free throws for the rest of the game, they're going to be a problem. It's just the name on the front of that jersey. Really can't stand it.
It's unbelievable, man. it's really, and the fan base too, but you know what it is. Next question. We're going to race through a couple more. JDG asks, Raptors, Heat, and Mavericks are all off to disappointing starts. They were also the last three teams in on Giannis. Is this a coincidence?
Yes. Yeah,
clearly. The Heat have different circumstances. The Mavs had like half a team out with COVID. Also, their team just maybe.
Not good.
The Mavs are kind of a maybe because they didn't really improve their team very much. And I think they probably wanted to keep spots open for Giannis. Obviously, that did affect the Raptors because the Raptors tangentially lost some of their centers because of this pursuit, but I think for the Heat is just, you know, Jimmy's been out, you know, guys have been out. Once they're back,
you see the Tyler Hero thing on Saturday night. He was like, "Yeah, you know, the person I live with was exposed to COVID. Hopefully, I don't have to quarantine." What the hell is going on with basketball?
Who does he live with?
I think he just lives with his like fiance or something.
He's like, what do you mean fiance? He's like 20 years. He's like
19. Or his girlfriend. Old. I don't know. Whatever. He lives with his partner.
Was it the one that he brought to the bubble?
I don't know.
You're more on top of this stuff than I am.
I just know that he, in a post game, said that a person he lives with tested positive, and he hoped that doesn't mean he has to quarantine. Which, on what planet does someone that you live with having COVID mean you don't have to quarantine?
Yeah, no, he's I don't know, man. The NBA might find a way around it. The NBA has really just been like, you know, screw it. We're really just the NFL with better branding at this point. And a worse product, let's be real.
Facts.
Anyway, I sent you a link. I think that's who he's referring to. Next question. This question is from Sheldon. So far, which Raptors bench lineup has been your favorite? Josh, feel like you're not very happy with the bench, so I would love to hear this from you. give me your favorite Raptors bench lineup.
I don't have any like five man stats, but it's like,
no, forget the five man stats. This is just who you like, man. This is like going to Mandarin Buffet. I don't really care. I mean, which, by the way, I don't think it will ever happen again, unfortunately. But
to Mandarin,
you're not picking like the best food, man. You're just, you know, you're getting like,
it's like
watermelon with fried rice. It's the most insane thing. Anyway,
there was kind of I feel like I remember seeing Kyle, Stanley, Yuta, Chris, and I want to say it was a shooter. Is it a Norm or Fred? It may have been Fred. And that five-man unit looked pretty good. I don't think that you can do a five-man unit that is watchable on television without Kyle Lowry.
What do you mean, man?
Fred in the bench has been so bad. It's like,
it's been tough, yeah.
I don't understand it. Because he knows what to do. That's been really, really rough.
To Fred's credit, every team just traps him when he's playing with the bench. They're like, we don't respect any of the other guys. We're trapping you like you're Steph. I don't care. You're basically Steph relative to these guys. So
that's true. So Fred in the bench really hurts my eyes. Kyle in the bench. Kyle, Norm, Chris, and then two of the deeper bench guys looks okay.
Yeah.
Anything other than that, you need a balance of starters for the team to look competent.
Yeah. I'd be very curious to see what a non-point guard lineup for the Raptors looks like, where Pascal is forced to play point. Say you have Bembry out there. It's like Bembry, you have Norm, you have Yuta, you have Stanley, and then you have Pascal. I just want to see what that looks like. I just out of weird curiosity. I'm not saying it'll work. I'm not saying it's good. Well, I'm advocating for it, but I just want
to
know.
Nick Nurse will certainly give it to you. That's the thing I'm kind of pissed off with Nick, but he's got to figure out this like rotation, because he's jerking around Paul Watson, and I don't like it. Like, as somebody, I'm not even invested in Paul Watson. Salute to Kelsey, but seeing what's happening to him is like, this is kind of gross. Like, this guy, you don't trust him enough to really be searching, but you keep putting them out there for variable amounts of time with all different lineups. You should know this stuff in practice. I don't like it. I feel like Paul Watson was supposed to have a more clear development year, and he's been let down by the organization, in my opinion.
I wouldn't really go that far. I mean, I don't know if anyone's owed anything necessarily. I do see what you're saying, though, like, because the other game he came in for 10 seconds. Like, and it wasn't like at the end of the game. Like, he came in for 10 seconds and then left. Like, I don't know what happened. Did Nick call the wrong guy off the bench? It's a little strange. That's a little unfair to a guy. But no, I think he's getting the Matt Thomas of last season treatment, which is just like, yo, there's we need a situation here for a 3-2-for-1 situation. Come into the game. And he's actually done that quite well. He's what is Paul Watson shooting on 3 for the season, man? It's real high. 5-for-7. So, you know, he's getting the Malcolm. Actually, not even Matt Thomas minutes. He's getting Malcolm Miller minutes, but he's been fine. That relates to a question that I got from the DM. Salute my guy Michael Chandler. Hope all is well. Chandler asked Nurse. What do you ask about Nurse? Should Nurse have more defined rotations at this point? For example, I've noticed Bembry's very effective off the ball when Lowry's the primary ball handler. Let's see more of that, less random stuff.
Yeah, no, Bembry's been good. I think he's going to push TD2 out of the rotation. I think it's like,
Nick seems to really, really want to give TD minutes. Like,
but I think Bembry's showing enough that it might happen for a game. Because he can't play 4 different shooting guards every night.
No, he can't.
Like, with Norm back, Norm gets minutes. Then Bembry would get less minutes. I think there's a game where he's going to switch them, and Bembry will be the guard after Norm off the bench, not TD2, and who knows?
Well, and McCaw,
I think it's gonna happen.
McCaw's apparently trending in the right direction.
Is he doing contact or still?
No, he's just kind of, but he's on the court doing some minor, I guess, non-contact stuff. So we'll see.
You guys don't watch practices, do you?
No, I wish we could. I would definitely love to watch that, but no, there's no way, man. You know, I would just clip all those clips and put them on Twitter, and then, you know,
I can imagine the first time they do it.
I'm too thirsty. Yo, when the Raptors played the intra-squad game in Quebec City at training camp, I literally set up a Periscope a corner of University of Laval for like 10 minutes. And I was like, what am I doing, man? Am I jeopardizing my career to do this?
Can't you imagine Kyle Lowry, like 6 minutes into the game, spotting the camera, walking over, towel affixed to the top of his head, and then just like knocking the camera over, keeping it moving?
Absolutely. And also putting the middle finger in the camera as well. So the other question I got from the DM was not a question, but someone last week wanted to ask about Matt Thomas, but he got to the question. Then this week he just said, I just want to apologize for our Matt Thomas stanship. You don't have to. It's not your fault. It's not Matt's fault. It is what it is, man. I mean, you know, we all have try to have fun with it. You know.
Man, Corey Joseph put him in,
bro,
in hell, man.
That hurt me personally. Like when I watched on back-to-back possessions too, you know, because I went back and watched the tape and I got so mad. I made a whole video about it. And one possession, Utah was guarding Buddy Hield out top on the ball, no disadvantage, nothing. You could trust Buddy. Utah to cover that assignment. Matt Thomas, for some reason, was standing directly behind Utah. Like he was next in line to get a school dance. Like, bro, what are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, why? What? Explain that. Anyway, so that has been unfortunate, but you don't have to apologize. Look, listen, Matt will have his moment once again. Every Raptor will have their moment once again, except for Alex Len, apparently. And you know, it's all good. So don't apologize, man. I look forward to talking more, Matt. But right now, yeah, Matt's down bad. Absolutely. In terms of, so I have three miscellaneous questions to race through before we get to our signature segment, Malachi's missions. This one from Burning Books says, not a question so much as more French pizza toppings, please.
Danana, champignon.
Yeah. Man, honestly, this is tough.
What else did we have to memorize?
What did we say last week? Like obviously fromage.
De jambon.
Oh, yes. I love the jambon. Honestly, you know, the most embarrassing moment. First off, I obviously don't profess to speak French or Spanish. Absolutely not. But I landed in Quebec City last year for training camp. And I got into the Uber. And the man was clearly a francophone. And he asked for my name. And I was like, and I wanted to say yes. And I knew how to say yes in French. It's very simple. Oui. But for some reason, my mind immediately jumped to C. And he was like, in English, in a very heavy accent in English, that's Spanish. And I was just felt so embarrassed. I felt so embarrassed, man. It was real tough. But no, I you know, that's probably the extent of the French pizza we can order. It's probably a Hawaiian pizza.
I remember learning de crevette, which is shrimp. Yes. And I remember going home and asking them if people put shrimp on pizza. And she's like, you know, some folks do.
Wait, like, hold on. Who was doing that?
I don't know. We had to learn. Shout out to Miss Goldberg, Madame Goldberg, teaching us about. But Madame Goldberg. Cease. The thing with Madame Goldberg, as you might know if you're familiar with the last name Goldberg, she would never put shrimp on her pizza. It's not kosher.
Yeah.
What is going on?
No, but for real though, that's actually throwing me off. I've never seen someone put shrimp on a pizza.
Me neither. I'm sure, you know, somebody out there. It'd be so overcooked if you made it in whatever.
Yeah. I'm good. But yeah, no, unfortunately, we don't really speak French or Spanish for that matter. Next one from Fresh Prince of Balling. What do you think about Raptor fans being toxic and ungrateful, blaming Masai and Bobby for the team record? They won a championship building a great team and completely changed this franchise around. I mean, I think you could criticize them for the current situation of the team. It's not a great team that's on the floor. And I think, you know, that's fine. But realistically, if you're ungrateful, then, I mean, you might just be an ungrateful person, in which case that happens. But also, I think probably a lot of the fan base is very young and they haven't seen what it looks like on the other side. And they're probably expecting it always to be amazing. And it's realistically, life doesn't go like that. So I don't know, man. I think for the most part, Raptors fans absolutely adore Masai and Bobby. It's not even close. Even the season one, the team is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a bad, it's just down year. I guess if you wanted to justify, you know, anger at Masai and Bobby, it's that we don't know if they're staying. So it's kind of like if you and your significant other, you knew that you were like headed towards a breakup, and then there's like a minor offense, but you use it as like a reason to have a big argument just because you're like done with the relationship or you don't feel secure in the relationship.
Yeah, maybe that's for a reason to fight.
Yeah, maybe that's the justification for some Raptors fans acting out. It's probably too generous, but
yeah. If you want them to be replaced, which I don't know why, but if you do, like, who are you replacing them with? That's better than what they have done. Like, come on, man. So
very true.
It's ridiculous. All right. Last question before we get to our signature segment. PB for Mello. If there was a Raptors Royal Rumble, who would be the last remaining five?
This is an impossible question that I can't. So you basically like a royal five people?
Yeah. Last five. Yeah. So the whole team will be in the arena, as I understand it from watching, like, SmackDown in 2008 with Rey Mysterio. So all 17 guys or 16 guys on the roster go into the ring and fight at the same time, and winner is the last man standing.
So I would put Kyle Lowry because you can't fuck with
him. Absolutely.
OG Anunoby because he's clearly the strongest guy on the team.
Well, you know, honestly, Aaron Baines might be stronger than, but Aaron Baines is, and OG are both in the top five. Let's be real. Baines is going to be in there.
I guess Baines, yeah.
Baines looks like a wrestler too. Like,
Utah will be in the top five. Wait, hold on.
I don't know about that.
I don't think Utah will ever give up.
I guess so. Yeah, you're right. The tenacity is important.
Also, in your interview with Utah, he talked about playing a lot of sports, and I feel like opposed to the very, like, highly specialized American AAU type athlete, he played a lot of different stuff as a young person.
His badminton and ping pong skills are going to come in.
I would bet that Utah has more wrestling experience than Stanley, for example.
Oh, by the way, Stanley is definitely in the top five too.
Stanley is my last, because Stanley looks like he knows how to fight.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like Fred finds some way to make it in there, but it's also unrealistic. I think the size is a real issue.
Yeah. Yeah, but Fred, I would, you know, the bet on yourself thing. He might, like, you know.
Can we agree that Jalen Harris is going to be the first guy out? They're just going to, like, they're going to make him say "We the North," and he's going to be disqualified for some reason.
Yeah, he'll be out fast. Norm, I don't think Norm wants the action.
I don't think so. No,
I think Norm will just say, like, "I'm good," and then, like, step out. Right, like, he'll see what happens to Jalen Harris and say, "Guys, I'm good. I'm gonna go mentor him. Yeah, I'm gonna go depart." Who else would have an amusing exit? I don't know. So wait, who's your top five?
I have the same top five as you. I think it's pretty objective. I think Kyle is going to be my number one pick, probably the eventual winner somehow. He's going to, like, Kyle's finishing move is going to be like he sits on someone's face or something involving his apparently. I mean, you just ask Aaron Gordon. Anyway, so Kyle Lowry, okay. Aaron Baines, number two for me. OG, Stanley. Yeah. And then I wasn't gonna pick Utah, but I feel like you talked me into it. I think the persistence is really important.
And I genuinely believe he's probably done the most wrestling of any of those guys.
All right, so fine, we'll put Utah in there.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. That's your Raptors Royal Rumble. To end the show, we have Malachi's Mission. Our flagship segment. Realistically, Malachi's mission should be to go to the 905 and like just dominate for a stretch. The bubble is coming up soon. You have Nick Stauskas there. I think you know, Jalen Harris will be there. Honestly, if Malachi went down there, I'd be really interested to watch some games. It won't just be Blake watching the Blake and Kelsey watching the 905. Like it might actually be some real people watching it. So, in terms of numbers, so yeah, I would actually recommend
else. Is there a plan to stream the games on like?
I mean, you could just watch them on Facebook and stuff, and I think you can watch them on the G League website as well. I remember watching Stanley Johnson, Matt Thomas, and I believe O'Shea when the three of them went down to the G League last year. And let me tell you, Stanley stood out, and so did Matt Thomas. It's a very, very distinct difference.
Happy for Stanley.
Me too. But anyway, do you have a
the only the thing that I it's a product recommendation this week, only because that's truly impressed me. Hopefully available at a local grocer near you are Frankie's Organic Clouds. They're a Canadian corn puff. They're very delicious. And it's like, you know, GMO, Canadian owned. If you're looking for like a snack, I just really liked it. And I was preparing for the show. I'm like, what's something that, like, normally I just recommend like books and TV shows that I watched and thought this time around I'd give a recommendation to something that anyone could pick up at local grocery store. Frankie's Organic Plus. I've really enjoyed the jalapeno and white cheddar flavors.
All right. Well, listen, Frankie, if you're out there, sponsor the show.
Luke, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I was struggling with this one too. I realized I didn't watch much this week other than like sports and like YouTube content. So I might just recommend YouTube content. Listen, if you are a Lord of the Rings fan, which I feel like there's definitely a sizable, you know, fan base. Absolutely.
Of Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, I would say, right? So. Yeah. And as me personally, I was a big Lord of the Rings fan, more of the movies. You know, I read the books as well. To be honest, you know, half the books was like poems and weird languages that Tolkien invented, which I, you know, you had to really, really be a nerd to enjoy it. But recently I found myself really enjoying the channel Nerd of the Rings, which is exactly what it sounds like. Really nerdy, insightful kind of breakdowns of Lord of the Rings. It goes into like the Silmarillion and all sorts of like the creation stories and not just like stories in Middle Earth. And I've been watching a whole bunch of these of like the complete travels of Aragorn or of Gandalf or whatever. And honestly, they're really well made. I honestly haven't thought about Lord of the Rings in like a decade, but you know, maybe Malachi would like to know the complete travels of I don't know, man. Morgoth, you know? So there you go.
I like that we've recommended what are ostensibly chips and watching YouTube, which is very true to what I think everyone's
listening to. This is what everyone is doing. Yeah.
The last 11 months. Do you have I'm trying to convince my partner who I live with to do like an anniversary quarantine thing, like Friday the 13th, or so it would be September, March 13th. It's coming up in 6 weeks to do something to mark 1 year inside because it's kind of unbelievable. And I don't know what I want to do. I kind of want to like make a few of the greatest hits of the meals that we made because that's all you can do is like cook. It sucks, man. I'm really can't wait to.
Bro, it's hard to just muster up that much energy to do something in the house because I've done everything in the house. So. That's tough, but you know what? Good luck on that. Good luck on that. I mean, realistically, I think, you know, it has been a tough time, but at least we have the nearly 500 Raptors to keep us entertained.
So, I ran into our friend Jessica yesterday. We were both in the same grocery store, and we were walking together to like same intersection. And we were reminiscing on previous times in the pandemic when we could like sit in parks. And that's like a crazy idea that I'm so deep in a pandemic, I now long for earlier, better times of the pandemic.
I mean, it's just winter, man. I mean, you know.
But you know, last winter
we'll be back in the parks and stuff. As long as we don't do that weird like Trinity Bellwood's situation. And
you think the couple that made out in the park are like still together? Remember that viral video?
That sounds nasty.
You don't remember this? It went like viral.
Was this at Trinity Bellwood's?
Yeah, dude. It's Trinity Bellwood's.
I don't know, man. At least, I mean, listen, if you got some during the pandemic, then I'm happy for you, no matter how you had it. I don't want to be a hater.
If you found love during the pandemic, we're all like, from Raptors of Everything, we're really happy for you guys.
Yeah, on behalf of the show, we would like to say congrats. I mean, ideally, you did it safely, but you know, all is fair in love and disease, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so long as you weren't like, I don't know, you didn't like meet at Elf Furniture Warehouse, or what's the one that was like had the big maskless party? Maybe it's not Elf Furniture Warehouse.
It sounds like it could be though. It does sound like it could be a place that markets all its food as $5. This sounds like the place that would host this activity.
Facts. Yeah. I bet they listen to this podcast.
Listen.
We got Frankie sponsorship money. We don't need anybody else's.
I didn't go to U of T, so I didn't frequent that establishment that much. But
me neither. You know.
In any case, Josh, this was a great show. Great Monday. Raptors win. The show is lighter and the questions are lighter. And we picked our all-stars. You know, we talked about pretty much every player on the roster. Why don't people ever have questions about Fred? Like, no one asks about Fred anymore. They're just expected to be good and solid every game.
And he has just been, he's been, you know, good and pretty solid.
Yeah.
The thing about Fred VanVleet is his generic picture on the internet is still from when he had the goatee. Ooh. And I truly hate it. He doesn't look like Fred.
Yeah. Oh, rookie Fred. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, this is the Wichita State Fred, man. Yeah. This is shocker Fred.
He's so skinny, eh? Man.
He just seems so much smaller. I don't know if he grew. Like, he probably bulked up, but like...
His shoulders are totally different now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's pretty clear. Yeah. But, I was watching a clip of Yuta Watanabe playing with... I forget which team he played for in college. But, they were playing against Fred's team. And he got a pretty clutch stop against Fred in crunch time to secure some sort of college championship. So it's kind of an interesting story, maybe, to see the previous battles that the Raptors have had before they became teammates. Because Nick Nurse and Chris Finch had some real, real battles in the BBL, including one play in the finals where Nick Nurse, his team, made like a crazy comeback to, I think, retake the lead in the championship game. It was like they were down 12 with like 2 minutes and they came back and they tied and went ahead. And then Chris Finch drew up this great play for this one guy. First, I don't remember who it was, but he like pump faked and hit this like dagger to win it at the buzzer, which I'm sure is a very painful memory for Nick, but would be kind of interesting to think back on the battles. But
I'm trying to think if there's another like obviously great matchup between, I don't know.
They're young enough that a lot of them had played in college. Like Bembry played against Utah as well. You know, Stanley probably played against many of these guys. I think maybe Pascal and Fred probably played each other too at some point.
Yeah.
So there you go. Honestly, that might be my when I'm talking about these 30 columns that I'm going to write, that might be like the 15th one. Please read about BBL stories.
And then not this week because we should end the show, but I want you to give me the update on Canada basketball. I feel like I tried to read about it and I'm still confused. The Olympics are happening. Are they still playing the tournament in Victoria? I think
I'm pretty sure. Yes, they're
your listeners would be interested in getting the like Canada basketball update. Look at me making work for you.
That's column 25.
Yeah.
By that point, when I've already written 16 articles about Cade or Evan Mobley, I might have to check in with Canada basketball. So, all right, Josh, thanks as always for making this time. Listeners, thanks as always for honestly making the time. Hopefully, we entertained you in some way during the pandemic, and we'll be back next week to take on more questions. So,
all right. Peace.
Peace.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.